Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming my good colleague Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. And here is the time for us to address Big Space. Big Space has a new leader, a man named Isaacman. It's been an ordeal, but there he is. Bob, a very good evening to you. Mr. Isaacman, a very brave man, also an experienced pilot and astronaut and spacewalker, is now the director of NASA. Do you expect changes, Bob? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, I actually do. And let me give you the outline. First of all, Jared Isaacman was finally confirmed by the Senate by a 67-30 vote earlier this week. It was not a surprise. All the votes against him were from Democrats, mostly because they are afraid he's going to eliminate whole centers, NASA centers in their states. You know, their focus is protecting government jobs, not necessarily representing their people. And so they were mostly voted against him. But it was pretty clear, and a lot of Democrats voted with him as well, because it's obvious. If you look at his own policy paper that he issued in the spring when he was first nominated, he very clearly was looking at NASA as a businessman, and he wants to look at the whole operations of NASA and restructure it to run more efficiently. He doesn't specify the closing of any centers, but he very clearly is going to reorient what a lot of the centers are doing. And it could mean, yes, some centers get consolidated, but we'll have to wait and see. He's going to, for example, one of the things he's going to do is he's going to eliminate the numerous deputy administrators that every administrator in NASA has been given, multiple deputies. He basically believes the managers should do the work instead of hiring a flunky to do it for them. You know, eliminate some middle management there to save some money and make things more efficient. So that's at least what he had said he was going to do. But the next day after the confirmation, Trump issued an executive order directly aimed at America's space program at NASA. And this executive order, very clearly to my mind, was aimed and probably worked out with Isaacman's advice to guide what Isaacman is going to be doing, or maybe even to express what he plans to do. It basically repeats some of the basic goals they want, which is to get Americans back on the moon by 28 ahead of the Chinese, and then to establish what they call the initial elements of a lunar base by 2030. But the rest of the report is focused on commercial space and private enterprise, quote, enhancing sustainability and cost effectiveness of launch and exploration architectures, including enabling commercial launch services and prioritizing lunar exploration. His whole thing is growing a vibrant commercial space economy through a power of American free enterprise. That's also another quote. He wants to at least increase investment by $50 billion in the industry. That's not government spending. That's investment by private enterprise in the space industry. And to do this, to implement these changes, this executive order asks for a whole bunch of reports and actions by NASA's administrator Isaacman, the secretaries of Commerce, War, and State, as well as other bureaucrats in the executive branch. What was most of this stuff is to a certain extent just the kind of boilerplate you hear from every president. What was significant was one specific report that this executive order requires, that within 90 days, Isaacman will release a report after identifying the acquisition programs at NASA that are more than 30% behind schedule and 30% over cost, and to see if those programs should be reconsidered and we should look at other alternatives. Well, I'm going to tell you, the only programs that really seems to apply to most of all is SLS and Orion, which are vastly beyond 30% over budget and decade below behind schedule. And the report is supposed to be issued in 90 days, which means it's issued in the early spring, which means it could be issued prior to the next Artemis mission when SLS and Orion are going to send four astronauts around the moon on a capsule with a very questionable heat shield and an environmental system that's never been tested in space. Now, I've been arguing, and I'm not the only one, that this mission should not have people on it, that if a private company was trying to do this, NASA would protest. But NASA's pushing forward because it's doing the same thing it did with Challenger and Columbia. It's putting scheduling ahead of good engineering and safety. If they don't put humans on this mission, it will delay the manned landing significantly, maybe by 2 years. So what? You don't want to kill people. And so I think this executive order is setting the situation up for Isaacman to review NASA and to review SLS and Orion and announce when he releases the report that he's pulling the humans off that flight. Now, that's my speculation. I don't know for a fact, but the overall tone of this executive order is focused on private enterprise and making a successful American commercial industry in space, which I think is the most important thing. You do that and we'll beat the Chinese everywhere in space. Get us an industry first, not a program.
Point of order, Bob. Is SLS the one that we've been dealing with for 25 years? Is that 25 years overdue?
SLS was first, some variation of SLS and Orion was proposed by George Bush Jr. in 2004, 21 years ago. The initial design of SLS was something called Ares. That got rearranged when the Obama administration came along, but it's just simply an upgrade or a change from that project. Orion, however, the contract to Orion was given to Lockheed Martin in, 05, 20 years ago? And they built maybe five capsules for about $30 billion. It's obscene what's been going on with this. And the capsule they've built still does not have a heat shield you can trust. It's really a very disgraceful thing. And I'm very much hopeful. Now, Congress is pushing to keep SLS and Orion because it's the jobs program game again. But really, we're now beginning to develop real alternatives to this that are privately built and cheaper and quicker and better and safer. And so I think we're moving to a moment where we'll finally be able to get rid of these boondoggles.
21 years, Bob. Doesn't that end the argument? Do you have to say any more than that?
I've been saying this, John, for a decade. Has it made a difference? I'm not the only one saying this for a decade, but it hasn't made a difference. And for example, even after two decades, you've got Ted Cruz pushing SLS and Orion in Congress. We've got to do those Artemis missed flights. You got to do more than two. You got to keep the program going. It's a joke. And it's really a disgrace that any congressman is doing that.
Let's go to something positive, Rocket Lab. What are they up to?
All right, so Rocket did a successful launch again this week. It's 17th of the year orbital launch, and that's a record for it. It's actually done 20 launches, some suborbital launches for the military's hypersonic test program. This particular launch put up four new satellites for the Space Force. These are technology test satellites. They're called DISC-SATs. They basically look like pizza pies. And the idea is this round disc, you can fit more of them into a rocket shroud more efficiently. And I think also they're designed to be able to fly at lower orbits because of their flat shape. The wind, the atmosphere resistance won't drag them down as quickly. And they're going to do tests of that in orbit. So Rocket Lab keeps rolling along. They're going to have more launches than that in Russia. Think about that for a second.
21 years ago, Bob, if you and I had said, we're going to have Rocket Lab take care of this because their technology is superior and put Space Force into low Earth orbit. 21 years ago, we would have been accused of doing science fiction on air, correct?
I was accused of doing science fiction on air because I was saying private enterprise could do this better back in the 90s, and no one would believe me. But this is the truth. That's how it works. Private enterprise is the way.
So 21
freedom. Years. It's the American dream.
Just a moment, Bob. Just about 21 years from now, does SpaceX own Mars?
As I've been saying to you now for the last few months, the American space program is SpaceX's right now. It is not NASA. NASA's quite irrelevant.
I think that's a yes. Yes?
Yes, that is a yes.
All right, fine. Max Space, what is that?
All right, this is more private enterprise. You know, we've got four different companies or consortiums building space stations. Max Space is not one of them, but it is a space station module builder. It builds inflatable modules. And it's been designing its modules for sale to the space station companies. In other words, you're building a space station, you want a quick module, Max Space will sell it to you. Well, they this week introduced a new design, a much larger inflatable module. They call it Thunderbird. They're going to test a small prototype of this in 27 in orbit, launched from a Falcon 9 rocket. It appears they're now not only proposing selling this to other space stations, but they're putting it out as a possible independent space station of their own. We'll see how that plays out. But think about that. This might be the fifth space station that's being built by an American company. Quite amazing, John.
India is troubled again. Their orbital mission. What's happened?
All right. So Gaganyaan is their manned orbital mission they've been trying to do. They first proposed it in 18 to fly in 22. Well, it's 25. They haven't flown it yet. They're now looking for the orbital mission to happen in the 27-28 frame, which is another delay. They were hoping to do it in 27. Now they're suggesting it might happen in 28. They hope to do the first unmanned test of the Gaganyaan capsule launched into orbit. They were going to help them to do it by the end of this year. Now they're looking early next year. So it's dragging on. It's a government program. Once they get those first few launches of the capsule up unmanned, I think this schedule will finally firm up more tightly. But they haven't done it yet, John, and we have to wait and see.
All right. Now a spaceport in East Africa, Kenya. Why? Is that a good advantage?
Yes, Kenya's a great location. It's near the equator. You can launch over the Indian Ocean in multiple directions. Kenya already had a spaceport that was used from the 60s to the 80s, an offshore launch pad platform that Italy used. And Italy's rocket company, Avio, is now reopening it. But that's not this story. The government of Kenya wants to look into opening its own spaceport at a different location along its coast, because the San Moco offshore platform is going to be controlled by Avio, Italy. So they want to have their own. And so they're now looking into that possibility. They want to hire somebody who can tell them whether it makes any sense and maybe manage it. We'll see if they ever do it. But, you know, once again, this is private enterprise. Really, they're looking to make money from their good location.
Bob, Jared Isaacman understands commercial space. Jared Isaacman is a success because of SpaceX. What is he doing at NASA? What is the thinking here?
He's got this- Well, look, I can't read his mind. He saw this as an opportunity to give his contribution to America. And, you know, the right man, a person in this position at this moment, during this final days of transition from the government model to the capitalism model, could be perfectly placed. Historically, he could be a very significant man in changing, putting the final nail in the coffin to the government-run model at NASA. Make it NASA an agency aimed at helping.
All right, one more difficult question then. The Trump administration and the president himself wants a moon landing before he leaves office. That's going to make things very uncomfortable for Isaacman.
I think that, once again, this executive order is giving Isaacman the freedom to do what he thinks is right. And I think when it comes to risking people's lives, Isaacman will be in a very strong position if he does do what I hope he does and take the people off that next mission. It means they might not land on the moon before end of Trump's administration. Well, you know what? If Isaacman's got the courage to do it for the right reasons, then that'll be what will happen.
And you think the White House will listen to that?
Well, they won't have a choice. If he has the courage to do this, how can they argue with the man in charge of NASA, who's a former astronaut, a jet pilot, knows the engineering, and says this is not safe? If he comes out and says this, it doesn't commute to me that they can force it. Then they will look like NASA all over again with Challenger and Columbia in a blatant way. I don't see that happening, John.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Beyond the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At CVS, it matters that we're not just in your community, but that we're part of it. It matters that we're here for you when you need us, day or night. And we want everyone to feel welcomed and rewarded. It matters that CVS is here to fill your prescriptions and here to fill your craving for a tasty and, yeah, healthy snack. At CVS, we're proud to serve your community because we believe where you get your medicine matters. So visit us at CVS.com or just come by our store. We can't wait to meet you. Store hours vary by location.